Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the deadline is today for you to vote in our 30 Issues in 30 Days nominating process. That's for our 30 Issues in 30 Days presidential election series. The topics that many of you suggested over the last few weeks are still up on our webpage with software that lets you rank them in the order of importance that you would attribute to them. So go and rank your top three or rank them all. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. This is your last reminder because the deadline for ranking the issues is midnight tonight. The series will begin 1 week from today. Now, just in from the AP, despite today's stock market plunge, in reaction to the uncertain fate of two of Wall Street's oldest institutions, Merrill Lynch and Lehman Brothers, John McCain says he still believes the nation's economic fundamentals, quote, are strong, unquote. The Arizona Republican told a rally in Florida that as president he will clean up Wall Street and, quote, never put America in this position again, unquote. He pledged to replace what he called an outdated patchwork quilt of regulatory oversight and that he will bring transparency and accountability to Wall Street. But what people may remember from this and what Obama may attack him on is that he still says the fundamentals are strong. Obama has attacked him on that before and said that's a sign that he's out of touch with the pain that average Americans, like our callers from the last segment, are feeling. Nonetheless, after we talked about some of the same economic news on Friday, we got a very interesting listener comment on our website. It said, you guys are focusing on the fear angle of the story, i.e., will I lose my money? Please focus on the opportunities, too. So we look for somebody who is willing to do that. And we came up with Tim Hansen, senior analyst for Motley Fool, which does economics on NPR as well as elsewhere. Hi, Tim. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. How are you today?
I'm okay. So Lehman Brothers is not so okay. They're filing for bankruptcy. Merrill Lynch is being sold. That may actually be a good thing. And the European markets are dropping. The Dow now down 270 as it continues to bounce around in the negative 200s and negative 300s. But hey, if Merrill Lynch is being sold, it means Bank of America is buying. That's a silver lining, right?
That's true. I mean, you know, the lesson that is clear here with the news coming out about Lehman and Merrill today is that both companies have some assets that people are willing to buy. They weren't necessarily willing to buy Lehman whole hog without any government backing, but you know, Bank of America found something attractive in Merrill. Lehman's unwinding its positions today, and you know, Dow down a little more than 200. In the context of what we've seen over the past 3 or 4 or 5 months, not that bad.
If and people were worried that it would be much worse. Of course, this is just one day, and I think this has been a kind of rolling, gradual fall for various sectors of the economy. So, you know, I don't know if we say, oh, it's only down 200, not 1,000. And I don't know how much of a sigh of relief really comes with that. Do you have an opinion?
Well, you know, Ben Graham, who's a great famous old investor, said that in the short term, the market is a voting machine, and in the long term, it's a weighing machine. And what we're seeing right now are people voting with their feet and taking money out of equities. It's affecting the banks, obviously, who have a lot of subprime exposure, and that's very serious stuff. But it's also affecting companies, you know, like a Chipotle restaurant, which, you know, sells burritos, and that was down 20% on Friday. And it's feeling some pressures about rising commodities and slower consumer spending. You know, people are maybe eating out less, but it doesn't change the quality of the company. And so one of the silver linings I was going to mention today is if you have some money that is saved up and you're willing, you know, you don't need it for the next 3 to 5 or however many years, now's a great time to be a buyer of stocks. And you don't need to, you know, experiment with the Bank of America's of the world or, you know, the Goldman Sachs's of the world, these companies where there are a lot of financial unknowns. You can do something as simple as buy Chipotle or you can buy ExxonMobil. These are companies that are going to benefit over the long run. And the valuations today are depressed because of all the volatility in the market that's been caused by so many of these financial institutions needing to unwind positions.
I guess that depends whether you believe this is 1987 all over again or 1931 all over again.
Well, you know, both those years were great times to invest. If you were able to invest through the Great Depression and you added money at a regular and a disciplined way, you were break even within 2 years. And it turns out that the years 29 through 31 were the greatest opportunity in the history of the United States to have been an investor.
So do you think that people should be retooling their 401k accounts right now?
Absolutely. I mean, provided people have 401k accounts, you know, that's another big issue. But, you know, another silver lining, which was, I think, made clear by your last segment, was that more people now, more regular people, are paying attention to their finances in a way that they weren't before and in a way that they're not incented to do during good times. So to the extent that, you know, right now you maybe have to button up a little bit and you're spending more on gas, when gas prices come down, you might find yourself having a little extra money. And that would definitely be, you want to invest in your 401k, you want to save, and now's a great time, probably, if you've got a lot of bond and cash exposure, to move it into equities.
You wrote an article on Motley Fool that said there are fewer barriers to investing today than ever before. What did you have in mind there?
Well, first, discount brokerage prices are fantastic. I think up in New York, Bank of America will allow you to trade for free if you have an account with them. You know, ShareBuilder, I think, is $4.99. Ameritrade is anywhere between $7.99 and $9.99. You know, and it used to be when you wanted to invest, you had to buy a round lot, which meant you had to buy at least 100 shares, and you would pay anywhere between $59 and a couple hundred dollars to do that. And so it was a real disincentive for individuals to buy stocks. Nowadays, you know, if you're getting a $4.99 trade, you can buy $100, $200, $300 worth of stocks, and you're not getting soaked by the commission costs. So that's been a fantastic development for people.
Here's something that former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan said on ABC This Week yesterday about what the fall of Lehman Brothers means for the larger economy.
In and of itself, that in essence does not need to be a problem. It depends on how it's handled and how the liquidations take place. And indeed, we shouldn't try to protect every single institution. The ordinary course of financial change has winners and losers.
Now, that sounds consistent with what you were saying. Of course, it's easy to take that long view if you're outside of it. But I guess that's the game you're playing, is try to identify the future winners among the current losers.
Well, you don't even necessarily have to do that. I mean, if you have the time and the inclination, you can certainly start digging through financial statements. But, you know, something as easy as an index fund, you know, all the indexes have been killed globally. China, Vietnam, the United States, Europe. So even if you just dollar cost average into something like an index, or you don't need necessarily to be able to weed out the great companies from the less than great companies. So there are winners and losers, absolutely. But as an individual investor, there are ways to sort of make a more macroeconomic call, which is to say it won't be this bad forever, which I think is a pretty easy call to make given how bad it is right now.
Is anybody profiting job-wise? We're hearing that New York is going to take a beating in terms of employment because there are 30,000 jobs gradually disappearing on Wall Street, and that has a ripple effect to other jobs, and New York is so dependent still on finance. Is anybody profiting job-wise? Obviously, if I'm a bankruptcy attorney, maybe I'm doing well right now. Who else?
Well, you know, it's pretty tricky. There aren't, you know, a lot of these PEO HR companies have been hit really hard recently because the job market has been down. I mean, the unemployment numbers have held up maybe better than a lot of people were expecting, and there's going to be more work for bankruptcy lawyers, presumably, but, you know, there aren't any swaths of the economy that I know of that are seeing widespread hiring now. You know, something like the energy industry, on an unrelated topic, something like the energy industry will benefit if there are more subsidies for wind power or there's more drilling or something along those lines. But from the fallout of the financial institutions, there really are no clear winners.
All right. I want to thank Tim Hansen from Motley Fool. Is your website motleyfool.com?
Fool.com.
Fool.com. Just Fool.
Yeah, just Fool.
Fool. Fool.com. Fool me once.
We like to keep it simple.
Fool.com. Tim, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're going to stay on this in a minute with John Authors, investment editor at the Financial Times. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.